Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Dublin City Council's launched new plans to try and breathe life back into the capital city's nighttime economy. And this new strategy aims to create a dynamic, inclusive and vibrant nightlife for both locals and tourists. So what do you think will revitalise the nighttime economy in Dublin? I'll be talking to the new nighttime czar, Ray O'Donoghue, very shortly. But Robbie Kitt is on the line because, Robbie, you're a DJ and spokesperson for Give Us the Night campaign. How do we try and get people back through the doors?
Thanks for having me on, Andrea. It's a heap problem, I think. You know, our campaign has been active for the last 20 years. I've been involved for the last 6 years myself. We've always experienced so many venues closing. I suppose for me, you know, one of the biggest things I think is about just reframing how people think about the city. There's been some kind of small positive steps in the right direction, I think, even in seeing things like Culture Night recently really activated like a lot of the city. And I really enjoyed that from my personal. I'm 34. I've been doing these things for a long time now. And it was the first time I'd ever actually experienced seeing a sound system, for example, on the street. They set up outside of the old Central Bank a sound system, which was actually run by a kind of a grassroots organization, this crew called Rise Up Sound System. Those type of things, I think, are just really amazing when you can reimagine the public space as an event space. Like, you know, it was like, I just thought it was such a positive experience to be dancing on the street, like, you know, up until midnight, with just so many people from different communities, different backgrounds. Like, those are the type of things. I've said it for so many years. One of the best antidotes to antisocial behavior is social behavior. And I think, you know, if we can reframe and just even think very clearly about the positive benefits of that social behavior from an organizational point of view, from, you know, a local authority's point of view, that's kind of something that can help, I suppose, cultural communities connect with the wider public, which I think is basically kind of the first step in really reestablishing the importance of these things in our lives, you know?
Yeah. So does that just effectively mean, Robbie, that we offer more? We offer different things at night rather than the kind of the typical pub and nightclub?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's super key. Because like something that I suppose as a event organizer and somebody who's been involved in kind of community organizing for many years, I've really observed that, you know, it's harder than ever to actually get people out of their houses. You know, people are hooked to their phones, to their screens, and it's very understandable. Like, you know what I mean? There's a stronghold that these type of devices have now on our social lives. And something that we have to, I think, realize is that kind of activity is in direct competition with real life events, you know? And so I think diversity of options is one of the key things that you can do to actually, I suppose, entice people out of their houses and away from their screens, and so that they can have real life experiences with other people, which I always think is just a fairly positive thing for us to be engaged in.
Jason Keane is on the line as well, Robbie. Jason is the manager of the Black Door Bar and Nightclub in Dublin. It's interesting, Jason, because you guys are actually relaunching the nightclub tonight. So what do you think needs to happen to enhance Dublin's nightlife again?
Hi, Andrew. Thanks for having us on. I suppose transport is our main issue at the moment. Getting people into the city is grand. People are worried about how they're going to get home. I think taxis are trying their best to get people home, but I think the option of a late night bus and the Lewis like to do at Christmas time would benefit hugely. People are worried that they're going to be stuck in sound, stranded and not getting home. I think that would be one issue that needs to be addressed. I think the government have touched on it. It is going in the right direction, just not at the pace that we would like, but it is getting there.
So you think like that is a deterrent, is it, for people going out on a Saturday night or you know, staying out longer, the fact that they're fearful of not getting home?
Especially coming into town, people are staying more in their neighbourhoods, you know. Coming into town, it's, you get in fine, but you could be waiting an hour for a taxi. So if you had the late night bus on a regular interval, like they do at Christmas time, I think it works really well at Christmas time. There, the Lewis goes to 3 o'clock in the morning, and it just benefits everyone.
What about is it a generational thing? Is it just that, you know, the people that are now in their late 20s, you know, that were sort of early to mid 20s during COVID, is it just that they want something different, Jason? We'll say than I did, you know, when I would have been out or in the Black Door every Saturday night. Is it just that they're looking for something different?
I suppose over the last couple of years, the whole social life has changed completely. What we would have done 5-10 years ago is totally different to what we're doing now. So people are looking for, they're looking what events are out in town. If there's nothing on, what are, you know, they're planning their night ahead. They're not just going into town and saying, oh, should we go into the first pub or the first club we see? You know, they're like, what's on, what DJ is on, what event is on? You know, they're planning their nights before they even leave the house.
Yeah, so they're looking for something a bit more as well, and I suppose DJs, yeah, and that. Is that something, Robbie, you noticed? Like, is that a Dublin? I'm sure, presume that's happening nationwide, is it?
Yeah, like it's in, I think it's happening nationwide, certainly. It's happening internationally as well, it has to be said. Although we do face kind of very particular problems here in Ireland, as Jason outlined. Transport is like a really, really key issue. Also, our opening hours, it has to be noted, are the earliest in all of Europe, which does constrain how different types of operators in the nighttime economy can operate. And then you're not also like just getting into the more boring side of things, but the much more pressing concern for a lot of operators, which is the costs of insurance and, you know, just general operating costs. You know, I think, again, it's just framing these things as, like, from a business point of view, it's really, really difficult to actually provide these things, even when it comes to just opening the doors, let alone getting people into them. So, you know, I think it's, we're looking at kind of building this up from the ground. Like as we've kind of outlined with the campaign, we've lost over 80% of our nightclubs in the last 20 years. Clearly, these types of businesses need support from the government. And like, we've been calling for that for a very, very long time. As Jason says, it does feel like it's moving in the right direction, but not at the pace that's required.
Okay.
So that's, like, I suppose diversity of option for me, I think, is just a key thing.
Yeah.
And like, just giving people, again, just attracting them out of their houses, because they're like, and it is so hard for people. And I speak to this personally as well. I think we're all largely getting addicted to our phones and to social media and to that way.
It's never been easier to stay at home. The new Dublin, well, I don't want to say nightmare, but you are the nightmare, Ray O'Donoghue.
That's with it. M-A-Y-O-R, Andrea.
Absolutely.
Despite what my friends are calling me. But,
well, you're sort of tasked, though, with trying to revitalise Dublin's nighttime economy. How are you going to do that?
That's a very good question. And that's what my role entails. I've been 6 months in it now. I know you wanted to talk to me a while ago, but sure, I was only days in the job. So I've actually been a good 6 months now. And we launched the strategy Tuesday, and it's really Dublin City Council strategy. I'm just happen to be spearheading it. You know my background, you've an idea anyway. I was a musician, actor, DJ, promoter for 25 years, festival promoter for 25 years as well. And I was only 10 when I started, of course. So I'm very much coming from that background.
You know, and the industry well.
I know the industry well, and I know nightclubs, I know festivals, I know events. And it's a very different world, obviously, within the structure of Dublin City Council. But there is, there seems to be fate behind it. Everyone in there is enthusiastic. They want something to happen. You know, we have a great city. We really do. A city we should be proud of. We've 8 or 9 million tourists a year coming in. There's a reason why they're coming to Dublin City. We know there's issues, but we're trying to gradually fix those issues. And I think that it'll be a slow change. It's not going to happen overnight, but there are seeds of hope there, you know?
Yeah, well, Robbie Kitt, DJ, and Jason Keane, who's the manager of the Black Door, obviously just with us there, Ray, for the past few moments. And, like,
sure,
they've been talking about, we'll say, the issues as they see it, that they face. And, you know, they talked about having a variety in terms of the offering that we you know, sort of try to entice people with to get them into the city. They talked about transport, late-night buses and Lewis's. Our opening hours, they're earlier than other European cities. And then the usual, I suppose, the insurance and all that goes with it. Are they things, though, that you can address?
The opening hours, not really, because that's with the Department of Justice. And we all know the story there, and there's a little bit of a saga. I just think, personally, I think the choice should be there. We have staggered hours everywhere else in Europe. We don't have them. People are out in the streets 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. The choice should be there, and it would be market-driven. It's not, people say, oh, we won't get the staff, we won't do this, but that'll be up to each individual operator. I don't think it'd be, if it came in on Monday, I don't think there's going to be 50 places that are going to open.
Absolutely not. There'll be a handful.
There'll be a handful, exactly. But the choice should be there. But there is shoots of hope, like we did Culture Night Late, a thing called Nocturnal Beats. There was 7 venues got involved with that. They had nightclubs and late bars. And that that was a storming success. I was only speaking to one of them on Tuesday and they said that the highest numbers they've ever had in the last, whatever, 5 or 10 years. So that was great. That was picked up by the media. The Irish Times had it one of their top 10 things to do. Out of 1,700 events, remember, on Culture Night. Mm. And the Culture Night, in my mind, was a huge success as well. Great. I was everywhere on Culture Night. And it was from Moore Street to Capel Street to Smithfield to Camden Street, like everywhere. And it was great. There was just positivity all around. That was my take from it anyway, you know. So it's as I said, it's slow change. It's not going to happen overnight, but there is shoots of hope there. And as well for nightclubs. We know, listen, I was a nightclub DJ myself back in the 90s and I saw the change, what happened when bars were able to stay open at the same time and the DJs just started playing in bars. So
the late bars.
And we haven't got back from there yet, but maybe we will. Maybe there's more cultural activity. We need more, like, and it's not just about drink related. It's not about just staying out late.
I actually think we've a great, like, we have a really good offering. I mean, there's some brilliant shows on in the Borgosh. You know, there's great acts that come every year to the likes of Three Arena. But what I often notice, though, is that if you go to those events, we'll say midweek, right, on the odd Tuesday or Thursday or Wednesday that you might go to a show or a gig, there's really no, like, there's not many places to go afterwards because of closing times.
That's true as well. And I mean, but you can, I'll give you an example of a night out I had there only a couple of weeks ago. Hugh Lane Gallery were doing late night openings and it was a Thursday night. Myself and my wife went along, parked in town for free after 7 o'clock. There you go. She saw the Francis Bacon Studio for the first time. We did our own tour in the gallery. There was a DJ in there. There was music outside. It's something they did for August and September, late opening till 9 o'clock. Then we went for a meal around the corner, Parnell Street, Vietnamese restaurant, really nice, really reasonable. So genuinely, the whole night cost us less than €50. And, you know, people go, oh, you can't go into town without it. Oh, and that was a full night. You know, we were in the art gallery, we heard music, we had a meal, you know. So there is nights like that and there is more of them. And more of them will be happening. More late night openings in galleries, in museums, and so on. More offerings, you know.
In your role as the new nighttime czar, if we want to call it that.
No, don't call it
that. Don't call you that.
No, yeah. I'm mayor. Right. It's nighttime economy advisor.
Nighttime economy advisor. Okay. It's funny though, because we have, like, other European countries have had this nighttime advisor for years. We're sort of late to the party in that. We do have you now, obviously, in the position. But have you, you know, a one ticket item that will make this a successful gig for you when you look back in a year or two? Like, is it a Pink Street and like they have in Lisbon? Is it more late night wine bars like they have in France? What's your kind of one thing?
I think if you see with our strategy there, there's three pillars to the strategy. And without going into the detail of the strategy itself, one is cultural activity, more cultural activity. And that can mean right across the board, as I said, late night galleries opening, more stuff happening out on the streets, more culture nights, maybe a month of things, you know. So there is more of that. There's still a lot going on. There's Bram Stoker's Festival coming up at the end of the month. You know, there's the winter in Dublin is happening, Dublin Town Initiative. That's on November 1st and 2nd. There's the Winter Lights Festival. So there is a lot happening over the next couple of months, a lot of cultural activity. And I'm supporting that and using any funding that I have to support those initiatives. So there isn't one silver bullet that's going to fix things, but that's pillar one, more cultural activity. Two is transport, and you can see this progressive stuff happening with transport, security on late night buses, which I think is a great move.
Bound to help,
it's helping to make people feel a little bit more secure. And we're working on other things, possibly late night trains and stuff going on in the background there. And then safety, of course, and there's initiatives there. We already put a safe zone or welfare zone in on Culture Night late. It actually, they were so well behaved that we didn't have to use it that much. But it is an initiative that we're looking at bringing in, and we'll get it out there. We'll market it. We'll let people know it's there if they need to use it late at night, if they're vulnerable, if they've had too much to drink, if they've broken their finger, whatever it might be. But there'll be a medic there, like at a festival, which is a welfare area at a festival. So we're looking at bringing that into the city, and that's something that everyone in in Dublin City Council are very much behind, you know.
For people listening, just finally, Ray, today, like, you've mentioned a lot of events that I'd say, you know, and different things and initiatives that are on that I say maybe some of our listeners weren't aware were even happening. So where do they find the details of these?
Go into Dublin.ie and you can see what's happening around Dublin City. Go into Dublin.ie/nights and you'll see a little bit about what I'm doing. We're setting up DublinNights.ie, which will be more comprehensive, and that will give more listing of what's going on in general. But there is a lot, genuinely, there is a lot going on. And look, we've a great city, and we need to get behind it. We need to get some positivity going. I'm not putting my head in the sand, but I'm saying we do need to get some positivity going. There's a lot of negative narrative. And, you know, why are there so many people visiting the city? Why is there so much culture? Why is there such great pubs and great tradition of great writers and so on? We need to promote that. We need to be, you know, get into the city.
All right. You know? Ray O'Donoghue, Dublin's nighttime advisor, we'll call you that. Thanks a million, Ray, for joining us in the programme today. Also, DJ and spokesperson for Give Us the Night campaign, Robbie Kitt, and Jason Keane, who's the manager of The Black Door. I mentioned they are relaunching tonight as well.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.